Greetings. First of all, a happy new year to you. This is our first class we've had after New Year. Last week we had the Ultimate Importation Conference, which was a powerful conference. And of course, I want you to watch those archives over and over again. It's going to set the course for your year. I'm telling you right now, this will be the best year of your life. I really believe that, and I expect it. I expect it for my life. I expect it for yours. There are some dark days ahead of us. When I said of us, talking about the world system. But that doesn't mean that you have to participate in those dark days. You have, because of who you are in Christ, you have the right to overcome them dark days. Not just survive, but overcome and thrive during those dark days. I taught a message in our training center, in our training with the Word, which is our Tuesday night Bible study, about 3 weeks ago, how to dominate on the inside before dominating on the outside. And after listening at it again, I realized I said some things that I want you as a class to hear. It goes right in line with Spirit Life training. It gives some real life applications and revelations on how to get that soul lined up. So I want you to watch this. It'll be for the next couple of weeks because I think it's a 50-minute video. So we'll do 25 tonight or today whenever you're watching, and we'll do the next 25 later or the next week. But I want you to see this. It's very important. I thought it was a very powerful night we had. Just straight teaching the Word of God, impartation happening, revelation. And I hope you can learn some things, and we'll continue bringing everything together. And so by the end of this year, by the time you graduate, you will have that soul in a place to where you and God are operating as one. So I bless you tonight.
If you would, turn me to Proverbs 4 and 7. Tonight, I want to take a few moments and do some things that Apostle don't have time to do, because his the calling is on his life now is to take us deep into the spirit realm and take us places we've never been before. So it's my job to help people who may not be able to go as deep, may not be understanding everything he's saying, to break down the simple terms so that when he comes, he can take us where we need to go, and any of us won't be left behind. So in Proverbs, the fourth chapter, in the seventh verse, it says, "Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom." Here's the part that I want to focus on. "And with all thy getting, get understanding." Apostle been dealing with, "I am a spirit." Say it.
I am a spirit.
He's been dealing with, "I am a spirit," getting us to focus more on the supernatural than the natural. And if we don't understand how God created us, then we'll be trying to mechanically do something that we were designed to be. I'm going to say that again. We have to understand how we were created. So for us to understand how we created means we can just be who we were created to be instead of trying to follow mechanics to become. Do you understand what I'm saying? He said, "In all thy getting, get understanding." Go with me to Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, the second chapter. Genesis, the second chapter and the seventh verse. Genesis, the second chapter and the seventh verse. And those of you that may be watching online, is your first time, I highly encourage, no matter what church service you're in, you need to have a Bible. Whether it's, I don't care if it's on an iPad or you actually have a physical Bible, because we're now in the times where we can't be just trusting what people say. We have to verify. I love what President Ronald Reagan says. He say, I trust and verify. So I don't want you to just take my word for it. I want you to see it for yourself, because the Holy Spirit will talk to you a whole lot more than anybody else could talk to you about the Word of God. Why? Because He is the very Spirit of God. So those who are watching, make sure you have your Bible. Make sure you have your Bible when you follow somebody. And if a preacher, don't use the Bible. If a preacher, do not use the Bible, run away from him or her, because they're going to start mixing in their own thoughts without the influence of the Holy Spirit. So here we are in Genesis, this second chapter, the seventh verse, and it says, and the Lord God formed man of the what? Dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a... Now, he says man became a living soul. Not just a soul, but a living soul. So we have to ask the question, what's the difference between a soul and a living soul? Because God made us a living soul. Go with me to Galatians 3:13. We are a living soul. What's the difference between a living soul and a soul? Galatians 3:13. Very familiar scripture, but I want to take my time and go over these scriptures, because we, once again, we have to understand how God created us. All right. Once you understand, and all that getting, get understanding. Matter of fact, let me define what the word understand really means. Understand does not mean you have clarity on a subject. Clarity on a subject comes from position. So you might say, I understand physics, algebra. I understand what that scripture is saying. Most times because we take the word understanding just as clarity, meaning I got clarity on physics, or I got clarity on the Word of God, or I have clarity on algebra, meaning I can clearly grasp the concept, we sometimes forget the process that we go through to get there. The process that you go through to get to clarity on a subject, or as we like to know, understanding, is that you have to understand. Thank you so much. That we have to have, when we get clarity on a subject, that we understand. Let's break the word understand. Let's flip it over. Stand under. All right? So really, when you're saying you have clarity on a subject, all you're really saying is, I'm standing under that thought process. So really what God was, what the Solomon was saying when he wrote in Proverbs, and all thy getting, get understanding. Other words, what he really was saying, to get a control of your thoughts and bring them under the submission of God's thoughts. So what it means is we have to understand what God was thinking, or stand under what God was thinking when he created man. What was his purpose? What was he trying to accomplish? Because when you can understand, you can be. See, when you stand under, then you can be. You ain't got to try to become. So when you be, when you go ahead and just floating who you already are as a child of God, circumstances and situations that come up against you don't stand a chance because I'm not trying to solve this because I am the solution. So understanding, all right? So he's saying all I get and get understanding. We are a living soul. Galatians 3:13. It says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Christ has redeemed us or put us back in a former position, or position that we once were in. The position he's talking about is the position that Adam and Eve were in before they sinned. Created in the image of God, a living soul. All right? So Christ, through the birth, death, through the birth, the death and burial of Jesus Christ, we were put back in a former position. So now, watch this. So now that means for a while we were just a soul. We were just a soul, meaning that the only way we can solve problems was through what we thought or through our experiences. But when Jesus died on the cross, he put us back in a position to where we weren't limited by our soul. We became a living soul, meaning I am a spirit. So the difference between being a soul and a living soul is your spirit. See, before you got born again, watch this now. Your spirit existed, but it was dead to God. So when an object or when something is disconnected from its origin, it can no longer be that. So Jesus allowed us to be connected back to our origin. Matter of fact, Satan's whole objective is to get us not to realize that. So he wants to have us go through a whole bunch of mechanics so that we can always be trying to become instead of being. So Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for the written curse is everyone that hangeth on the tree. So Jesus put us back in a position to now we are living souls. Now, there are five aspects to the soul because it's very important. Apostle went over these before, but it's important that we go over again. There are five aspects to the soul, or five parts to the soul. You have your emotions. All right. You know, the Bible says, be angry and sin not. All right. So you got emotions. You have your memory. Your memory helps you to rehearse things that God has done for you. All right, Jesus said in 1 Corinthians 11, he says, he was talking about the supper, and he said, do this in remembrance of me. And then in Deuteronomy 8:18, it says, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, Deuteronomy 8:18. All right, so we have the emotions, we have the memory, we have the intellect or reasoning. Now, if we're not careful, our intellect and reasoning will operate as a soul, not a living soul. See, we have a right now to have the mind of Christ. Matter of fact, in 1 John 2:27, it says, but you have anointing that abides on the inside of you that you have. You don't need a man to teach you anything. Right? That's not that you can't learn, but it's saying if they don't want to teach me. If the information is not on the, if I can't find information anywhere else, I know where I can go to find out information, which is on the inside. So you got your emotions, your memory, your intellect, and your imagination. Your imagination is the place where God shapes things for your future, if you let him. That's why he said, write the vision. Make it plain that he that read it may run with it. Vision is another word for imagination. Now, I'm trying to get to this fifth one, the fifth part of your soul. The fifth part of your soul is the only one that God will not mess with. God will mess with your emotions. God will mess with your intellect and your reasoning. I mean, you walk into a wedding and Jesus turned water into wine, that will mess with your intellect. When Jesus say, you going to eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, that's going to mess with your intellect. God will mess with your imagination. God will have you dreaming about things and you wake up, Lord, how in the world am I going to accomplish this? He'll mess with your imagination. But this last one, this last part, yes, 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 the last part, God won't even touch. It's your will. God will not touch that one. Why won't God touch your will? Because your will is the very part of you that gives you the ability to love God. Your will pulls from the other four parts of your soul to make a decision. So now watch this. If God doesn't mess or can't mess with your will, then Satan can't mess with your will, which means we've been blaming some things on the devil that really wasn't him anyway. It was us looking for somebody else to blame because of our decision. Now listen to me. This is empowering. So Satan will mess with the other four aspects of your soul or the other four parts of your soul. Because if your will or your ability to make decisions comes from the other four aspects, it draws information from the memory. It draws information from the imagination. It draws memory from your intellect. It draws information from your emotions. To make a decision, then Satan would do his very best to affect the other four parts. This is why, go with me to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Proverbs 4 and 23. What it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Or it says the issues in that particular scripture, it means borders or boundaries. So it says keep your mind, keep your soul with all diligence. Put all your efforts in keeping your soul intact. Because out of your soul or out of your heart or out of your mind are the boundaries of life. So whatever you put in your soul creates the boundaries for your life. So if you don't hide the word of God in your heart, you're going to wind up having the ability to do anything. He said, keep your heart. It's important. Keep your heart. Keep your mind. Keep your soul with all diligence. You know, put forth effort. Because see, watch this. We get the love of God confused with trying to cover up our lack of submission. See, God loves you unconditionally, but God doesn't do things unconditionally. I'm going to say it again. God loves you unconditionally, but God don't do things unconditionally. There's a difference. See, we think because God loves us, he's going to just do anything for us. That ain't true. There are some requirements There are some requirements. The very first basic requirement as a Christian is you must believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that God raised Jesus from the dead. The Bible says, thou shall be saved. There are many people out there right now that God loves unconditionally, but they're on their way to hell. Why? Because they haven't done. Your will, I said that your will is the only aspect of your soul or the only part of your soul that God will not interfere with. So you have to train your other four aspects to fuel your will. You have to take the word of God and challenge your memory. You have to take the word of God and challenge your emotions. You have to take the word of God and challenge your imagination. You have to take the word of God and challenge your intellect, your reasoning. So that when it comes down to you making the decision, you make a decision that God is pleased with. Go with me to Genesis, the first chapter. See, I am a spirit. This is important because your spirit and your soul has to have a relationship, a certain type of relationship, in order for you to be effective in the kingdom. There's a term called suzerain. S-U-Z-E-R-A-I-N. And the counterpart to a suzerain is a vassal. We're talking about, I'm giving you political terms. A suzerain is an overlord. Or in today's society, it'll be one country that has dominion or control of another country. And a suzerain will allow that country to exist, allow that country to do certain things. But when it comes to international affairs, the vassal, which is the submitting country, has to get permission from the suzerain. Your soul has to be the vassal to your spirit. Your spirit has to be the suzerain. Meaning that your soul won't make no moves internationally outside of your body into this world system without first getting permission from your spirit. See, and Satan's whole objective is to make your soul suzerain and your spirit the vassal. You must, and one of the qualities that take place when another country dominates another country is that the vassal, the submitting country, must pledge allegiance to the suzerain or the controlling country. You must make your soul pledge allegiance to your spirit. You must make your soul bow down to your spirit. This is what God was talking about in Genesis, the first chapter. Watch it. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Watch this. Genesis, the first chapter and the 26th verse. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all, you see that? Over all the earth. And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. Here it is. God made us in his image. And here it is. Without us understanding. Remember what I said, understanding. Standing under what God has said, we've tried to make our own definition of. So, what I mean by that, we've been trying to move mountains with the lineup out of order. See, we're trying to do stuff on the outside. We're trying to, watch this, we're trying to run the earth when really that was secondary. Running the earth was secondary. Do you want to know what he really meant? The earth, specific. Every time the Bible is talking, is given a historical fact or given a historical event, he, God, is talking about you. So when it says the earth, it means specific.